is about the juvenile court's options and considerations that need to be considered before placing a child out of the home and taking them out of the parental home, in particular, in this case, at disposition. We ask the court to reverse the juvenile court's ruling for three reasons.
What's the importance of disposition?
Your Honor, the importance of disposition is the opportunity for the court and probation to provide recommendations and also, at that time, to explicitly state what services should be provided to the child or the juvenile for purposes of rehabilitation. That can include many things, including tracking services. It can provide family support services inside the home.
What are tracking services?
Tracking services can be either GPS monitoring and or there's another option that probation provides, which is an individual tracker who then will go into the home and ensure that the child is there without having GPS monitoring.
Let me go back to the Chief Justice's initial question on disposition. Your emphasis on that this was a dispositional order is so that we can examine 43-251-017.
That's correct.
Because that is limited to dispositional orders. Is that correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
In regards to that statute...
Well, I'm sorry, the statute of temporary or dispositional orders. But you're trying to get into the core analysis of that statute.
That is correct, Your Honor.
Thank you.
In regards to the statute that you mentioned, the three reasons that I'm asking this court to reverse the decision of the juvenile court is first that it was not the least restrictive alternative. And as stated by the statute, community options had not been exhausted. And also that the child, there was no evidence that the child presented a significant risk of harm to himself and or to the community. On March 9, 2017, my client had an arraignment and an adjudication on a D-court under 43-247-3B2. He admitted at that time to the petition. He then was placed by the juvenile court into a Boys Town shelter, which is intended in Douglas County to be a temporary placement. At that time, there was no objection to the placement, for the court was intending, quote-unquote, for him to get clean. Part of the petition that he admitted to was that he had been using marijuana as part of the D-court petition. He stayed in that temporary placement for 42 days. During that time, he had a chemical dependency evaluation, and he was evaluated by probation through a predisposition investigation. In that predisposition investigation, what was concluded as of April 24, 2017, when we came back for disposition, is that the child should be placed in the home with family support services and be provided outpatient therapy services in the home, again, and that he should have no unexcused absences and should also maintain a part-time employment. Myself and the state also agreed with these recommendations. The only additional recommendation that was provided was by the child's therapist, Heather Clover. Heather Clover had authored a letter on April 21st, 2017, stating that the child should remain in shelter placement temporarily for an additional 30 days, in which that child would transition to the home and also be provided outpatient services. Despite the professional recommendations and the legal party's recommendations, the court decided to place the child into Boys Town Group Home. We came back for a check.
Was that consistent with the therapist, or was that something different from what the therapist recommended?
Your Honor, I think the juvenile court was basing it off of a letter that had been authored March 3rd of 2017, which was a recommendation prior to the arraignment and adjudication of the child. However, with the updated recommendation of that therapist from April 21st, 2017, I believe that the juvenile court's basis and reliance on the March 3rd letter was inaccurate in the fact that the child had then had 42 days that had been spent not only away from the family, but provided with the services that Boys Town Shelter provided. In addition, other information from the predisposition investigation is intended to have all that collateral and look at what is best suited for the child. In this instance, it was providing them with the least restrictive alternative, which was placing them back into the home without patient
care. So when the disposition hearing continued in May,
correct,
then what was the state? position at that point?
At that time, the state's position with a different attorney had changed. They had recommended that the child should be placed in Boystown. However, their position was relied upon the fact that my client had been provided services prior to March 9th, 2017, when he'd been arraigned and adjudicated. It is true that my client had had services privately by his family, including therapy, and also had been placed into a treatment facility, not inpatient, but outpatient therapy, and had been discharged.
Is it improper to consider that information?
No, Your Honor, it is not improper to consider that information. In fact, that information was considered in the predisposition investigation and by Heather Clover and by David Yobold in the collateral that was provided at disposition. Still, all parties recommended a lesser alternative and also had believed that all community-based resources had been exhausted at that time.
But by the continuation of the disposition on May 9th, at that point, the state was in favor of out-of-home placement.
Yes,
regardless of the merit of it in your view, that had changed.
That did change, Your Honor. Yes. The state did change their opinion as to the fact, but had relied upon the information that I provided.
So what is our standard of review here?
Your Honor, for juvenile court cases, the standard review is de novo. I apologize that in my brief I did use abuse of discretion many times, and I do believe that the judge did abuse her discretion. However, in regards to interest of Nadal in 2014, it was clearly stated by this court that de novo review should be considered by the court when looking at cases that come from juvenile court. In addition, the other two prongs of the statute that we're here to discuss today for 43-25017 are that community-based resources were not exhausted, and in addition, that the child did not pose a significant risk to himself and or to the community.
What's the lesson of Nadal in terms of exhausting resources?
Essentially, Your Honor, in regards to Nadal, the court remands back to the juvenile court and requests that there is no speculation that is made.
So, under Nadal, must all potential resources be explored, or just all relevant, logical ones be explored?
I believe that relevant and logical resources should be explored by that state in Nadal. In that case, specifically, that child was going to YRTC, he had been placed in YRTC, and at the point, a professional therapist had recommended that he could be placed into a group home. And therefore, the court remanded it back to see if they decided that the juvenile court couldn't make speculations as to if he could be placed there or not. In this instance, it was clear and obvious that the child could be placed in the home with family support services, and those community services had not been provided to the family prior to the adjudication and the arraignment, and even post-adjudication.
Was it significant that the child was already out of the home?
In regards to being placed in shelter care?
Mm-hmm.
Your Honor, I do not believe it is significant in determining that another level of group home care should be applied. Temporary care and shelter placement is used as a temporary form of care to make sure that the child gets the observation and also the evaluations that they need. It is not intended, even by this court standard, to be a permanent placement. It is intended for the family to make sure that those services are set up appropriately. For that reason, when the child came back and probation offered that he should be placed back into the home, I would suggest that he should have been placed back and that was not a permanent.
Was that order about which you're speaking a dispositional order?
Yes, Your Honor, it was a dispositional order. Although it did come back for a check on May 9th, oftentimes our juvenile court comes back on May 9th and they order a group home in the disposition. We come back for a check hearing in regards to where they actually have been accepted.
I'm sorry, you're referring to, pardon me, the April hearing, you're referring to as a disposition.
Correct.
And then you're referring to the May 9th as a separate disposition?
Correct, Your Honor.
Although the court had said, let's see you in a week. I want a bed at Boystown, see if you can apply for a bed.
Correct.
Come back in a week. And your view of it is those are two separate dispositional orders rather than a continuation.
Your Honor, may I answer the question?
You may.
Your Honor, in regards to it actually being a separate disposition, I do not believe that that is the case. I think that in the disposition on April 24th, that was the dispositional order, that was the final order of the court. However, on May 9th, what that was utilized for is for the judge to determine where the child has been accepted to, and therefore make the determination not if he should go to group home, that decision had already been made by the court, but which group home he should then attend. With that, Your Honor, I would ask that you reverse the juvenile court's decision and remand it back and place the child back in his correct. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody here today on behalf of the state? It does not appear that that is the case. So we will go on to the next case of the day, which is Robinson versus